Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
5 at 5 brought to you by Sport Clips. Cut the weight, download the new Sport Clips haircut app, and check in.
It's 5 at 5 with Mully and Hall, where we debate the top 5 sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Hall. 5 at 5 with Mully and Hall starts now.
What will we see from the Bears offense on Sunday? Do you expect Matt Nagy solved a lot of problems during the bye week, or are they who we thought they were? Which player on offense will we be talking about on Monday morning?
You know, I don't know that Matt Nagy solved all the problems in the bye week, and I don't know that you can necessarily solve all the problems with that offense. It is an interesting kind of offense where, you know, you're basically collecting plays. We talked about it a little bit yesterday. Everybody wants to come up with their play, and everybody, they run a lot of different plays, and they run different plays out of different formations, and it's a high-volume type of deal. I think the player we're going to talk about is going to be the slot receiver. I think Gabriel coming back. I saw that statistic. It blew my mind. I couldn't believe, as good as this defense is with the New Orleans Saints, and they've won on defense, they are the third worst defense against the slot receiver in the NFL. That's hard to believe, right? And by the way, their nickel corner is out. He's been suspended. So
it's a good stat.
That is a very interesting stat when you consider the Bears get a player back. They got a player out. So they're testing their depth to begin with, and now they don't cover that position very well. So I would expect that maybe we're talking about Gabriel. I do think it's a game the Bears should win, and I think they've had a lot of time to prepare for it. And I we'll get to this, I know, but I feel good about what's going to happen on Sunday.
I don't. I feel the opposite almost. I feel like this has been an off week where a lot of introspection, which is good. I don't know what to believe in with this offense, though. I don't know what they do well. I don't know if they know what they do well. I don't know if they're going to get any better by losing their starting right guard. And I think they have Gabriel coming back, which will help. And I think the slot statistic is an interesting one. But this is a Saint defense that in their last three victories has given up 245 yards a game. This is a very good defense. With the best defense in the NFC, please stand up on Sunday, because that's what this is a game is going to be all about. We'll be talking about the offense because we'll be curious about what the Bears do, because this is an offense that's been disappointing all year. But I think this will be a game dictated by defense, and I think that the Saints defense is going to have an easier time stopping the Bears offense and the Bears defense will the Saints offense, if that makes sense. We'll get to our predictions in a second. But I don't have a lot of faith in the Bears offense because I don't know that what they've done to earn it. So I think if we're talking about one player on Monday morning, it's going to be David Montgomery, because he's a guy that either it's going to be a case of where the Bears committed to the running game and he emerged as a guy that you can trust in the running game, and they ran the ball well and they controlled the line of scrimmage in a way that the offensive line just hasn't, or it's going to be, why didn't he commit more to the running game? Because he spent all of the off week talking about how they were going to commit to it and they didn't. So I think David Montgomery is that guy.
Mully, I'm with you, and surprising as it may be, I think even though New Orleans is a really good team, this game plays to the Bears' favor. I think it will be defense versus defense, but I like the Bears to win the game, and we'll get to the predictions in a second, but I can't believe it made it all the way to the three slot here without anyone saying Mitch Trubisky, because to me, he's the answer to all of these questions. Matt Nagy will have solved a lot of problems if Mitch plays well and he runs the offense well. The Bears player on offense we'll be talking about most on Monday. If the Bears play well or if the Bears play poorly, is going to be Mitch. It's just naturally going to be him. He's coming back from injury. We got to see how he performs, how he throws, how he runs the offense, and how the Bears thus fare against the Saints, because I think he is going to dictate the outcome of this game. The defenses, I think, will offset each other. I expect a lot from both, but I think Mitch will dictate the outcome of this game.
Well, yeah. I mean, of course. It's always the quarterback, and damn you, Mike Esposito, for being in front of me in our batting order this morning and taking the answer from me. But of course, and I don't know how it couldn't be the quarterback, especially coming off of the injury, coming off of a loss, which seems so long ago, versus the Oakland Raiders. The fact that this offense has failed to get out of the gates so far this season. They've scored fewer points than anybody in the division by quite a wide margin, and I understand that they do have the bye week in there, but let's be honest with ourselves here. The offense hasn't looked good outside of a small period of time in Washington, D.C. earlier this season. So it's going to be on the quarterback, even though, you know, I agree with you guys that it'll probably end up being more of a defensive battle, 10-yard fight, all that good stuff. But it's always going to come down to the performance of the quarterback and the fact that he now has this harness situation coming back from the injury. It adds more layers to that storyline. So I think Monday morning, win, lose, or draw, it's always an option.
The Lions have a draw.
They do have a draw, indeed. And I think that we will be talking about one Mitchell Trubisky.
Indeed.
On Monday. Indeed, we will.
Well, it's always about the quarterback, so let's not state the obvious.
Think I will.
You know, Espo, you mentioned you couldn't believe it got to number three to get to the quarterback. I'm going to say I can't believe it got to number five. How about the offensive line kind of leaning on to what David said, right? I mean, who's playing right guard? I mean, we're assuming we know who's playing right guard, but there's been no official announcement on who's playing right guard. And in order to get your guy, David Montgomery, going, that offensive line needs to have the opportunity to know that they're going to be able to put their hand in the dirt and get their feet moving and get their rear ends moving, okay, and not just standing straight up and trying to get their shoulders in between other people's shoulders. Also, did Charles Leno Jr. learn anything? Right, he's been playing the game the same way for the last couple of years. Now all of a sudden he's getting these holding calls.
I thought it was the official's fault
that he thinks are phantom. What did he learn? How much retrospect did he have over the last 2 weeks, basically now? So I think this offensive line is something that we're going to be talking about quite a bit come Monday morning, good or bad. Here's what it won't be: it won't be indifferent.
There's a lot of questions in there.
Can you connect the dots between the several front office moves the Cubs made Thursday and their future choice of manager between Joe Espada and David Ross, or Joe Girardi? And does this qualify as an organizational overhaul?
Well, I wouldn't call it an overhaul at all. I think that you have a lot of guys in new jobs, and you got a director of pitching, director of hitting, and just skimming the names and the qualifications, the credentials yesterday, Mully, I wasn't sure if I was looking at the front office moves of the Cubs or the University of Chicago naming a new board of trustees. These guys' backgrounds just aren't your typical baseball backgrounds. Craig Breslow, the new pitching director, has a 2th degree from Yale in molecular biophysics and biochemistry. So, of course, that qualifies him to be the director of pitching for a Major League Baseball team. There's a lot of education, a lot of innovation that is the Cubs have added to their front office, and that might be great, but I don't know. I think maybe this is brain power that we assume that they already had, and maybe it's brain power to kind of close the gap between them and the Astros, and you certainly hope that that's the case. So if that is the end game, and that is the, you know, the team that you're chasing, and I think that's a good team to chase, then it makes sense that maybe this is all pointed in the direction of getting their bench coach on board as well. Joe Espada, he's the guy who represents the change that really David Ross doesn't. I mean, David Ross is a new manager. David Ross will have new ideas, and he's fresh, and he hasn't done it before. And there's a lot that would be exciting to Cubs fans about getting David Ross. But he wouldn't be new. He'd be a reminder of 2016. He'd be a guy who has, you know, maybe stepped out of the winner's trap but helped set it. And I think that's a part of things that you can't forget if you're a Cubs fan. So these moves yesterday, I don't know what to make of them. I don't know if anybody can, you know, maybe there's going to be somebody out there that can break this down. And certainly I'm sure that this helps bridge the gap and makes them more improved analytically. And that's great. But I thought the Cubs were one of the smartest teams in the league anyway. So I'm not sure if this says anything other than maybe you can expect Espada.
I'm not sure this is the change you can believe in. I'm not sure that this is the kind of the outside ideas that we thought were kind of coming here. And I think if you are if you're hiring David Ross, then that just underscores that it's more of an internal issue than an external issue, and you're looking for answers from within rather than outside the organization. And it's interesting. It's always interesting to see how many former Boston Connection guys are are hired around here. So, I mean, I think they were doing great work there, and obviously they believe that too. I'll be very curious to see if this World Series is set up and David Ross is hired. Because if the World Series is set up and David Ross is not hired, then that would seemingly indicate that Joe Espada is going to be their guy.
So you're saying that if that's a case,
I'm saying
Monday,
if we're here
we may
on
know.
Monday, I'd yeah. say if we, I think we'll know Monday one way or another.
Yeah.
And I think I think Monday it'll be David Ross. And if it's not David Ross on Monday, then you tell me, what's your conclusion? Why would it not be David
Ross? There's
only
one reason to wait.
Because you're waiting for someone. So that will be a very interesting thing to discuss on Monday morning.
Yeah, guys, I read the Cubs announcement yesterday, and my brain is on, well, I'm doing updates Friday morning, Mully and Hall, let's figure out how we fit this in. And I'm like, there's no way I could fit this into an update. This reads
mumbo
like
mumbo jumbo.
That's right. This reads like a corporate, hey, guys, look who we just hired for our board of directors. And I guess that's kind of what it is, but it's very unbaseball-y. It seems
someone said it looks like the board of the University of Chicago has been named.
And David mentioned it. It's like Craig Breslow, even though he was a pitcher, but his degree is molecular biophysics and biochemistry. It's like, and great, I'm glad we have smart guys in the Cubs front office, but
that doesn't mean you're smart. Yale Schmale. Why didn't he go to Harvard?
Just because you can memorize something in a book, man, doesn't make you smarter than me.
As a proud University of Illinois graduate,
I got street smarts.
As a proud U of I graduate, I always go back to Risky Business, the part where Tom Cruise, the Ivy League thing goes out and he goes, well, looks like University of Illinois.
But it did make me go back and check out where Joe Espada went to college.
University
of Mobile.
There you go. I don't know.
Right? Yeah. Wow. I didn't even know Mobile had a university.
I didn't either.
Well, we know where Joe Girardi went, and he's a smart guy, too. And I don't know that this tells us about any of the managerial candidates, but I agree with you, Molly. And I was talking about this with somebody yesterday. If they want to name Ross, they can name Ross, as soon as these championship series are over. There's no need to wait because nobody else is, talking to him about a job. But if they want to get Girardi, maybe they do have to have some urgency because he's interviewing for other jobs. Espada is the hot candidate. So I think we'll know a lot more about the managerial choice over the weekend. But I don't know that any of the hires yesterday suggest anything about who they're going to hire for manager.
University of Mobile, the Rams, compete in NAIA. I can't believe you guys didn't know that, by the way. That's very egregious. As far as the Cubs and their organizational overhaul, I love the alliteration, by the way. It's always a good thing to bring in intelligent people in the organization. And Craig Breslow has been described as the smartest man in baseball for quite some time when he was playing. So to bring him in as the director of pitching, which is one thing that Theo referenced during his, long epilogue at the end of the season, 83, 84 minutes, whatever it was. He specifically said, we need to bring in a director of pitching. We need to bring in a director of hitting. We need to overhaul what we're doing starting at the lowest possible level. So while this may seem a little, mumbo jumbo-y, to use my own term that I said earlier, it's a good thing because it means that they are evaluating what went wrong over the past couple of seasons, and they are quickly enough trying to alleviate that and change up whatever they were doing. So while this might not be as exciting as signing Garrett Cole or a big trade or whatever, in terms of personnel, player personnel, for the organization, you can't be upset about this. It's a good step in the right direction to try to fix what's gone wrong. Don't think it has any bearing on who the manager is going to be, though.
All of these folks were in the organization last year, right?
Yes.
Okay. This is my problem with the whole thing. They were all here last year. Where is the new, fresh voice? Or are you going to tell me that the guy that got the lateral move, maybe even a demotion, like he didn't let anybody else talk? They just did whatever he had to say. And so now all of a sudden they've got free speech going on over in the Cubs offices. And I don't think the new fresh voice coming into the organization should be the manager only. Like if that's the idea, if a spot is the guy, because he's coming from Houston, and oh boy, they're so neat and tricky down there. Okay, we need to get one of them Astros up here, up here north of the Mason-Dixon line and get us one of these Southern guys that know something about baseball. What? The manager should be the only new fresh voice in the room? That's my issue with it.
Well, if it's David Ross, is that a new fresh voice, Dustin?
No, it's not. No, and I think they could have used some outside voices, but I figured those outside voices, outside big thinkers, were going to be in that department. Not just, oh, well, we decided to move our buddy over who couldn't get the job done.
I think
so now he's going to sit there and work on whoever the new manager is lineup every day, if you believe that.
What you're suggesting is a good idea. I would have preferred them hire the Astros director of pitching.
Sure, somebody like that from that think tank. Exactly. God bless Espada, but how involved is he in that process?
Well, maybe he'll bring Garrett Cole.
That's a hard question to ask.
30 degrees.
It's a pretty important question to answer, though.
California boy. He's not Chicago tough, right?
That's right.
That's right. Will Coby White be more effective as a point guard, a shooting guard, or a small forward with Bulls coach Jim Boylan threatening to use him in all three positions?
Yeah, you know, I think he's not a point guard. I think that from what I'm seeing, you know, he moves the ball pretty quickly. He's got good handle. It's not like he can't play the position. But I don't think he's a point guard. I don't think that that's really where he's at his best. And I think that he's probably a shooting guard if you could use him anywhere. And I really liked what they did yesterday when they had their second team come in and you had Chris Dunn and him together. I mean, Ryan Archie Diacmo played with them as well, which was weird. But I really did. I really liked what I saw. I think if you're a baller, you can play a lot of different positions. And I think that he will defy position and be able to contribute in a lot of different ways. And I think it's a great kind of weapon to have, a good young player that you're developing and you're not just throwing right into the fire and you're not making him the quarterback of the entire team. So I like the idea of him being a two guard with the second unit.
I like him just as a modern guard. He's an NBA point guard today. Maybe we want to call him that because it's convenience, because of tradition, but he doesn't really fit the mold. And he doesn't really fit the mold of the NBA shooting guard either because of his size, but he is a guy that fits the mold of today's NBA modern guard. He's quick. He can score. I like the fact that they won't have to rush him into, you know, a responsibility of leading a team, of being that guy, of having certain number of assists or points that he has to score per night. Look at Zach LaVine. I mean, he'll take care of the scoring. And what Coby White can do is that as they ease him into the lineup, if they do that, if they want to start him, fine. But if not, he can be that scorer in the second unit. He's very comfortable being that guy. He plays with a lot of confidence. He's got a little pizzazz. You like the flair. There were a couple times last night, and I hesitate to almost make this comparison, but there were a couple times just the way that his explosive burst and the way he took guys off the dribble and his body control reminded me of Derrick Rose, just in the way that he could do some things with the basketball. I know Derrick was probably more than that.
Take it easy with the Derrick Rose comparison.
I know Derrick was an MVP. I know he's MVP. I'm not saying Coby White's going to be an MVP. But
Derrick's also like a couple 3 inches shorter. Right. I mean, I'm just saying it's a different game there. I mean,
there's an explosiveness the Bulls have lacked, though, since they've had Derrick Rose in the backcourt. And I think that when you see a guy like Coby White do the things that he does, it's an element they've been missing. And it's an element that gets you excited if you're a Bulls fan.
Yeah, I think Coby White will be used at all three positions. I think what does Jim Boylan call them, a baller? You know, in other words, no position. He's just a baller. But I think you saw exactly what, you know, he's going to give you that burst. He's going to give you the outside shooting. He's going to be able to drive the basket. And, you know, with Satoransky starting, they've already said that White will be coming off the bench, I believe, and he will be that scorer for the second team. Could be that spark plug off the bench, and certainly as needed or as earned, can move up with the starting unit if he graduates to that, if he gets there. But I certainly think last night was very encouraging to Bulls fans.
Yeah, absolutely. I said yesterday that I was starting to get the Bulls juice flowing a little bit more, getting excited for the season. And last night's game, I think, will, you know, obviously exhibition game, final preseason game, you don't put a whole ton of stock into it. But I think if you saw any of that or if you even saw the highlights, you saw a lot that you like in terms of the young players. You know, Wendell Carter, I guess, toughing it out, if you're into that sort of thing. Yeah, he went in there and he played, had a nice dunk over one of the Hawks last night. Coby White looked like a fantastic player. David, I agree with you as well. I don't think it would have been right to have thrown him in the starting lineup. It's good that they are bringing him off the bench, and he can provide that kind of sixth man spark energy. The NBA right now is kind of in this positionless thing where guys can move between the one, the two, the three, even the four. The five's kind of been eliminated, but guys can just kind of flow around, and there's so much ball movement and so much switching and changing up of everything during the course of these games that a guy with Kobe White's size, what is he, about 6'4", 6'5", you know, for a point guard that's very large. So he could play the two, he could play the three. I don't want people to get ahead of themselves because he's a very raw player still, and there will be bumps along the road. There will be growing pains, but you'd have to like what you saw last night. And I think the Bulls, as an organization right now, fans are a little down on them in general, and I think that they could use a little bit of goodwill, and maybe they earned just an inch of that last night.
I can't believe I'm actually just would like to rewind Kevin's answer because I completely agree with
it. We can rewind on the radio.com app.
That's right.
Now.
There you go.
Great segue. Set him up.
Radio.
I just can't believe Kevin's being so positive about the Bulls.
I can't believe Kevin didn't. I can't believe Kevin got through a question without quoting himself.
But you know, nothing is more overrated. I mean, the point guard in the NBA. When's the last time you saw a full court press in the NBA that you needed a point guard to break it? I mean, give me a break with this. He's a basket. Mully, to your point, he's like a Swiss Army knife. He's a basketball player, right?
No, and Mully called
like
him a baller.
Good. Now
that,
I don't want
to. I quoted Boylan, not Kevin.
Baller. The only thing I want to say is that they were playing a team on a back to back in an NBA preseason. So if you want to talk about, like, I always rail on the lack of effort in NBA games on a Wednesday night in February. Well, what do you think the effort was on a Thursday night in October off a back-to-back from New York to Chicago? So, like, listen, it looked good last night, so let's enjoy it. But I want that to also be there.
Well, I think that's a multifaceted question.
What do you make of all the hubbub surrounding tonight's Northwestern Ohio State game at Ryan Field? Do you like the Big Ten starting its football weekend on Friday nights?
Boy, a lot of discussion about this kickoff time and the Friday night. I want my football coach worried about traffic only in the end zone. That's all I care about in terms of from a football perspective. And this conversation all week has been kind of frustrating because it shouldn't be taking place. I don't know what the Big Ten's looking for in moving these games to Friday night. If it was television, they kind of lost that battle because now there's ALCS is on Fox and they had to move the Northwestern game to FS1, correct? They had to move it around. So now the whole purpose for...
They moved it to the Big Ten Network from FS1 because you got the wrestling, right?
Right.
And so they moved the Yankee game to FS1, so they moved... Northwestern's on the Big Ten Network after all that.
It's getting worse as we move through this.
Okay, so it's moved a couple times now, and now it kind of defeats the purpose. And you have a Friday night that should be reserved, and I'm with Fitz all the way on this, and a lot of college football coaches. It's a high school football Friday. It should be high school football all the way on a Friday night lights and all that. But I just think it doesn't really serve any purpose for the Big Ten. Besides the obvious congestion in Evanston. Oh, by the way, Friday night in Evanston is going to be congested. Did you not know that when you scheduled it?
Don't drive up there.
Yeah, and people kind of understand that anyway. So the biggest problem that Northwestern has to deal with has nothing to do with logistics or the calendar. It's playing a football team that they're going to be overwhelmed by. That's the problem. And that's the biggest problem that's overshadowed this week is that Northwestern's not having a very good season.
I think Northwestern understands that there is a really serious traffic issue. It is a residential area, and the people who live around the building are very peeved, and they're trying to make sure there are no concerts coming. And if you work on Friday and you try to get home in rush hour, you're going to have a hard time getting home, and I understand that. But Northwestern has opened up their basketball practice so everybody can go and see that. The stadium's going to open at like 5:15. They're giving out hats and food vouchers or whatever. They're giving out free stuff to people that come in. They're going to have lower prices before 6 o'clock. They're trying to do all they can to help with this traffic flow problem. I don't think it's ideal, but I think that they learned something last year with the Notre Dame game. I thought it was absolutely unbelievable to see all that. I know a lot of people complained about it. I had a fantastic time, and I thought it was just remarkable to see Notre Dame play at that stadium. It was so much fun for me. And I'm looking forward to seeing Ohio State. So I understand that people have a problem with it. I understand that it's a pain for the locals, but I also think they're doing as much as they can to sort of alleviate those problems.
Yeah, and I get why the game is on Friday night with the TV and all that. I really don't like it. Hate would probably be too strong a word, but I'm not likely to watch it. I'm with you, David. Friday night's high school ball, that's where it's at. I don't come home from work on Fridays looking for college football. It wouldn't have been top of mind today, except, hey, you know, it's Northwestern and it's local. Otherwise, I wouldn't even look for it. The irony is that, having said that, I love the Saturday night game because in Saturday, you're in college football mode. You've watched probably for a part of the day, if not all of the day. And Saturday night, you get a marquee matchup on a Saturday night to close out your day before you head into the NFL Sunday. That, to me, is great TV. On a Friday night, we have too much, you know, and I speak to my situation. There's a lot of family stuff, a lot of kid stuff. It's the end of the right. work week, all that other stuff. I'm not looking for Northwestern or Ohio State today. And I appreciate Big Ten football, but I'm not looking for it.
Espo, don't you usually watch Blue Bloods?
I have many things, likely with the kids having control of the TV, I'll probably be watching Peppa Pig or something like that, but I don't know.
Jumping up and down in muddy puddles.
Muddy puddles.
So this is the only college football game tonight. Am I correct on that? It's just this one?
Well, locally. Regionally, I think there's always going to be some Pac-12 games.
Or maybe the University of Mobile might have a game tonight that we're not aware of as well. But
start watching.
I don't have a huge problem with it. I get why people might be upset because, you know, the old school thinking is high school on Friday, college on Saturday, NFL on Sunday, which is fine. If you subscribe to that, then, you know, more power to you. I'm not going to try to talk you out of it, but I don't personally have a problem with this game on a Friday night. It's the biggest game they're going to have at Ryan Field all season long. You don't get to see one of the best teams in the entire country, and Ohio State certainly is that. You don't get to see them here as often, maybe, as you'd like, or if you're a Northwestern fan, maybe you don't want them here at all, because I don't think it's going to be easy for Northwestern this evening. But, you know, if you're out there, it's going to be a nice night, I'm sure. It's a different kind of experience, different vibe for you on a Friday rather than a Saturday. So if Northwestern can hang around, it'll be good for them in this one. I don't know if they're going to be able to do that, but I have no qualms with them playing on a Friday as opposed to a Saturday.
And, Kevin, how dare you forget the college football tradition that is the MAC Tuesday night.
MACtion Tuesdays.
Yes.
Gosh.
Gotta love that.
It's unfortunate we've only got about 5 minutes left and we've got a big question to answer because I got a lot to say about this. But to hear that the people that live around Northwestern and Evanston are bitching and moaning about they're not going to be able to get home. I mean, go pound sand. Give me a break. How often does this happen? When's the last time this happened? So not very often is the right answer. There's so many other issues about this than that, and that the fact that the hubbub, is that the word that was used?
Hubbub.
Hubbub? Hubbub.
I spelled it right.
That's what the hubbub is. You know, hubbub. The local news has got some ticked off woman in Evanston who's got to pick up her kids from aftercare and can't get home in time because, God forbid, you don't live by Northwestern then, okay? Move away. That's my answer. Get out.
Love it or leave it.
It's the Wrigley Field argument.
That's a good question. I mean, I don't know. Tony and I can't answer that.
Beat it.
Can you please give us a winner and the score for the Bears-Saints game? When will the game be decided, early or late?
Well, I think it's going to be a close game, and I think the Bears are going to win by 2 points, and I'm going to go with 16-14. No reason. I think they're favored by 3. I think that the game will be decided late in the game. I don't think the Bears will be trailing, but I think that there'll be a chance for a score against them, and they will hold up this time. So I think it comes down to the fact that Alvin Kamara is not going to play in the game. If he were going to play in the game, I would actually like New Orleans in this spot. But I think that the fact that they are on the road, they are outside, it is 2 weeks in a row, and the Bears are coming off a break. I think all that together means that and Kamara really being the big thing, but I think the Bears are going to win.
Kamara's a big one. If he doesn't play, that could be a game changer, certainly. Michael Thomas certainly is a threat to be reckoned with. Teddy Bridgewater's been better than people maybe think or expect. I know
he's due.
He is due. You're right. As a backup quarterback, he's due. But I like that defense, Molly. I think it travels well, and I like their pass rush and the inability of the Bears' tackles to be consistent enough to keep Cam Jordan off of whoever plays quarterback, Mitch Trubisky or maybe Chase Daniel if you have to see him. I don't have a good feeling about this from a Bears perspective because of that. I'm not willing to bet you 10 Chuck Bucks that the Bears are going to lose this game, but I am looking at this from a Saints perspective and thinking this is a very good football team, very well-coached football team. It's going to be a close game, not decided until the final series or so, and I think the Saints win 2017.
What is the exchange rate on Chuck Bucks to legal tender?
Well, we'll get into that later.
Are those related to Chuck Taylor's?
Yeah.
Mully, I'm with you. I actually wrote down 17-13 before you said 16-14, so we're right there in the same neighborhood. I like the Bears mainly because it's Bridgewater and Latavius Murray and not Breeze and Kamara, and I like the Bears defense. I think the Bears defense shows up after the bye week. I think the Bears offense does just enough.
Yeah, I agree. I think the Bears win. I don't think it's going to be the most entertaining, high-flying game that you've ever seen in your life. It'll be one of those defensive struggles, and if you're into that, certainly I like watching the Bears defense get after the quarterback, and hopefully they'll be doing a lot of that on Sunday. Might not be that exciting, probably be a lot of field goals, but I think the Bears win 19-13.
Whoever scores the first touchdown of the game is going to win this game, is what I believe. Mully, I think it's going to be really close, like you said. Everybody's predicting a close score except David, and a high-scoring game, too.
I said 2017. That's not exactly a blowout.
Well,
it's still the under.
I think
you picked 38 the over-under, so he's going under.
Sorry.
You know, I'm going for the Bears because of the Kamara factor, and Teddy Bridgewater can't win five games in a row. I just don't think that's a possibility. But I'm going to say 17-12. Bears, and so that's because the Bears are going to score the only touchdown in this game. My little biggest worry is Charles Leno Jr. against that pass rush.
All right, that is it. We've actually gotten it in on time. That's magnificent, fellas. Great job.
Look
by
at
all.
Us.
Yeah, I'm really
radio
proud of
professionals.
Everyone. That's almost as if we planned it.
About time.
It's Mully and Hoff, 312-644-6767. You're listening to Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.